Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday the 14th of November. I'm Pete, I'm joined by Luke, and we didn't get to talk about this last week on the show, but the Republicans didn't have as nice a time as they thought they were going to in the old elections, did they? And that Fetterman bloke won his race against Dr. Shithead.
That was his name,
and that
will go against you when you're trying to be a politician, being called Dr. Shithead.
There's very few kind of like awesome things in the world, but when a fucking confirmed, clear for all to see carpetbagger just gets his fucking ass handed to him, it's just a beautiful thing. You see it in British politics, but because we're quite a small nation, you can kind of float around and pretend you're from a certain place and pretend.
I just don't think it matters. The local identity thing is nowhere near as big here. Nowhere near.
Well, we're sort of like north and south of the fucking coming down here, doing you know what I mean? That sort of vibe, north versus south. But other than that, I don't think it really, really matters to that much of a degree.
I think that's right, and I think, even as we sit here today on this show on the Monday, there's still some stuff that's not sorted out yet because it takes time. Yeah. But it's not been as bad. And listen. I'm probably not qualified to comment on the proper analysis of what this all means, but for whatever it's worth, I think that it's worth pointing out that in the midterms, for those who don't really know, that happen in between presidential elections, what tends to happen is the incumbent president's party, which in this case is obviously Joe Biden and the Democrats, gets smashed because that's just how it is. And you find that here, don't you, with by-elections. Like the governing party tends to get smashed. So, and that hasn't really happened anywhere near as bad as people thought it would. And the only really exception I can think of that is in 2002, which was they've got a weird term for it now, but I think it's called the rally around the flag election because it happened so soon after September 11. So people were still in quite a patriotic kind of all in it together type mood, certainly compared to now. And so generally speaking, I think people were expecting it to be a lot worse for Democrats. But it doesn't seem to have been. And, to me, that's really encouraging because I think too many people on the right of politics in the US just don't aren't passionate about democracy. They're passionate about authoritarian fascism. They're kind of their own particular brand of it. And yeah. It's worrying. It's awful. And it's terrible for them. It's terrible for the world. And if you can't see that, I don't know what to tell you. So I don't think it's as cut and dried as, you know, Democrats are good and Republicans are bad, because I think that's not that helpful and it's a little bit simplistic. But actually, I think when it comes down to it, at key moments in history, which I think you only really fully realise when you've gone through them, I suspect we might be in one of those now. And I think it's really important to be on the right side of history. It's really important to say, do you know what, actually, when it all said and done, what does matter is a democratic process that has to be respected and has to be honoured. And if you vote and you lose and your shit doesn't go through, you have to accept it. You have to pick yourself up, dust yourself down and try and win the argument next time. And there's so much money washing through American politics as well that, you know, it does come down to, I mean, look, £6 billion was spent on these midterms. Mm. I mean, so there's a lot of issues, a lot of problems, but yeah, it's kind of an interesting time, I think. And I'll just finish by saying very quickly, because I know people don't want a fucking lecture from me on American politics. I'm not even American. But America goes through these periods a lot, like at the 1860s, the 1960s. It's a relatively young nation. There's a lot of growing pains around it. It's a really interesting experiment as a country, probably unique as far as I know, certainly in the West. And so these things happen. But hopefully, common sense, sensible people and the right type of people, certainly like John Fetterman, who to me seems like one of the most normal people in politics, which is a good thing, by the way. Mm. Him being victorious is genuinely, I think, for everyone, a good thing, because he is seems to me like a pretty normal guy.
And people didn't fall for the narrative that he, you know, stacked the debates, because he just had a stroke.
Yeah.
Like people would sort of say that we would look at it like any normal kind of debate. Oh, he really ruined that. You know, he really fucked it up and stuff. It's because he just had a fucking stroke and people didn't fall for it. Would the idea that democracy is really important, and you know, that's not something that is at the heart of the Republican Party in 2022, would it kind of change your would it change your opinion of the whole situation if you learned that a certain politician managed to regain his position as Alabama treasurer, an office he assumed in 2021. His current term ends in January of 2023. He ran for re-election as the Alabama treasurer. Yeah. He's called Young Boozer.
Young Boozer.
Young Boozer, Luke.
I don't think that doesn't really translate if you're in the US, because I don't think they use the term Boozer. But over here, that man would be doing the tour of student unions.
Young Boozer. Yeah. He was facing off against Scott Hammond. And Scott Hammond got 15.4% of the vote. And Young Boozer got 84.6%. I mean, you have to say, even if you are as dyed in the wool liberal as you possibly can, you have to vote. If that's on the fucking ballot sheet, Young Boozer, I don't care if he's fucking National Front, I don't care if he's, I'm voting for that guy, I'm afraid, and I will take that shame to my grave, but his name is Young Boozer.
What's important to you, the future of liberal democracy itself, or the banter?
The funny name, a man's funny name. Think of the meme stocks. You've got to look after yourself as the world gets more and more turbulent. You've got to look after yourself and your family, haven't you? That's how people
that
sort
is
of
how
go.
They think.
You worry about the smart. You sort of go, right, I can't deal with any of that. I'm going to make my world a little bit smaller, and I'm going to take care of the people who are around me. But more importantly, my meme stock business.
I can't afford to feed my family, but we can sit around the telly and watch Young Boozer do a speech and laugh. Have a laugh.
There's no telly. Nah. We sold
it for food. I bet he's awful
as
well, by the way. I bet he's awful.
I bet he's awful.
I bet he's not even living up to the name. Because he basically sounds like a rapper.
Young Boozer, yeah. Yeah, he's probably T-Tot.
He basically sounds like a modern version of Goldie-looking Chain.
Yeah, he would be in Goldie-looking Chain with that name. Yeah, fantastic.
Incredible. Anyway, that's currently the size of what's happening over there. I wanted to say that we should probably can we do, I don't know if we can do this, I'm going to try and do it, let me know what you think.
Okay.
We don't have to mention the company in question, I suppose, but I want to talk about the experience we had when you and I were invited to go to that marketing day with that company and give a speech. And it was kind of interesting for me, because so basically to set the scene, I didn't actually really know much about what was going on because Pete was in charge of it, and Pete's approach is a little bit more freestyle. Was that fair?
I think, well, bearing in mind, I didn't know anything about it, so we were both in the dark.
No, but you were
one.
The first point of contact. You didn't think it was a problem that you didn't know anything about it, so you just got on with it.
Yeah, I just
Whereas just for the record, I would very much prefer to have been told what was happening.
Yeah, but I didn't know what was
happening. Yeah, but find out is what I'm saying.
I didn't. There was nothing anyway, to find out. There's a
rerun of the conversation we had a few days before, and then these people have been having this marketing day, and they've been visited by all these different kind of different parts of the marketing industry, I guess, and they were interested in podcasting. So, a mutual kind of company said, "Oh, Luke and Pete will come down," and we did. Anyway, it was funny, but I got up on stage and gave a little speech. I just completely impromptu. I had no notes, just to get on with it, and it was fine. But what you did, Pete, I think,
write some notes. Then
no, what?
There we go. Failure to prepare is preparing to fail. Write some notes.
Like, I will fail also with notes. So that doesn't actually work for me. But anyway, the reason I want to bring this in is because I think people have a rarefied idea of who you are, Pete, and what sometimes happens to me, at least, and I don't want to speak about you like you're not here, but you know, you're here to kind of fight your corner if you want to, but what happens to me quite a lot is that if someone comes up to me in the street about a Ramble or a Luke and Pete or whatever, they tend to instantly ask me about you, right? You've got the charisma, the star quality, right? And I understand that. I'm 30 feet from stardom. I'm cool with that, right? You're the money maker here. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, cheers, man.
But what they also tend to say is, "Oh, don't you play it up a bit that Pete's this and Pete's that?" And Marcus, it's happened to me with Marcus from the Football Ramble, and he and I were at a football match, and a guy came over, a couple of his mates, and he said, "Oh, where's Pete?" And we said, "Oh, he's not here," because that's the first thing they always say. And they said, and then we got chatting away, and they said, "Oh, don't you just hammer up a bit about what Pete's like?" And Marcus said something which I totally agree with, which is, if anything, we probably play it down about what you're like.
Right? Yeah, okay.
That's what I think. So that's the preamble to the fact that we went to give this marketing thing, and you said to me,
I brought a big sink.
Yeah, yeah, you brought.
Just let that sink in. Elon's here.
Well, it was actually at Twitter, wasn't it? It was actually at Twitter's building.
It was.
Yeah, but there's nothing to do with
Twitter.
Them. But it was at their building. It was their event space.
It was at Twitter. Yeah. Very quiet that day.
Yeah, it was actually. So anyway,
nobody around. Guys, where's everyone gone?
Let me get the story out. Right. So we're sat in the waiting room. Now we've got to give a speech, and I said to you, "What are you going to do?" And you said, "I'm going to make a podcast episode on the hop, on the fly, with everyone in the room." And I was like, "Okay, we'll go with that." You then walked into the waiting room with a massive bit of 2x4 wood over your shoulder, to which my first point kind of question was like, how did you get past security with that over your shoulder? And I think they looked at you and they went, "I've had a good day, I'm not taking him on. Look at him. He just let him in.
Look at him. Even if he swings that as hard as he could into my skull, he's going to hurt his hands. It's going to vibrate in his hands, and he's going to go, bastard.
Break his weakened
break
fingers.
His own hand."
Anyway, you put a massive mic on the plank of wood. You sellotaped it on, well, you gaffer taped it on. You gaffer taped on a recorder and a wire. You wrote in a big marker pen on the other side of it, "The Podcast Maker." You walked into the room.
All right, now you're describing it. It does sound silly.
Oh, pennies dropped, has it? You walked into the room. There's about 80 people there you'd never met before. And you got up on stage and said some mad shit, right? And then went round the tables, about 80 people, interviewed every single one of them instantly in turn, and then made a podcast, edited it together, and sent it to them the next day. And they thought it was the best thing ever. And at that point, I thought... you've either got it or you haven't, and I haven't got it. So let him do it. Just let him do what he wants.
I think they would
love it. The reply the guy sent to the email of you sending him the podcast episode, he was so effusive and enthusiastic. He was so happy. It was unbelievable.
But we've both been in those kind of like away days where the whole big, we've all worked for Global, we've all worked for big companies where there's like, you know, 100 people in the room and they'll have sat through like a load of, like a day's worth of like speakers, you know, worthy, interesting speakers and stuff like that. And by the time it gets to the end, you want your dessert. You want a man waving a fence post around that he's found in his garden.
Is that what you actually found?
It was one of the fence posts that I bought to replace the fence post in my garden, which, by the way, looking good. I mean, it's a lovely fence post. A very, very lovely fence post.
All I want to say is, for the record, for people listening, you walked into to a big company, loads of people you've never met before, probably about 100 of them there, with a plank of wood, gaffer taped something to it, made a podcast episode on the spot with 100 people, which they loved, and it worked.
But you go in, they'll remember the guy waving the fence post around, and then when they get the steady bloody
what's that, the doorbell?
That's the when I talk about fence posts. It's
like Alexa with fence posts.
And then when you send the podcast, they'll remember the podcast. I mean, bearing in mind, like, I'd done that sort of thing without the fence post. They'd made that very clear in a school before. In a mate's school.
Wasn't even asked to be there.
Did a similar sort of thing. To be honest, the kids one was, they were slightly more efficient about it, but also they were a lot more offensive, little kids. Very offensive. They're like too rude for the RSS. They were absolute like shock jocks on that show. Yeah.
But the guy who we did this for emailed back the next, like, straight away saying, wow, that was fast. What a turnaround. This is Inga Capitals. Amazing as fuck. You are superstars. You're about to make some very hungover people very happy.
Right.
I thought, what about my speech? That was all right, wasn't it?
But you led the... You helped the... You did all of the interviewing of the people. You made, you know, all the gags that came out in the room were actually yours. I was just a guy with the wood. I was just a guy shouting, ho, and waving it
I
around.
Just think it's of interest because this is a show ultimately about us and we're both very different. Mm. And the dynamic is that I probably just put a lot of prep in and just work hard at it and it's fine. And you just got it, baby.
I think, but I think if you were sort of like, we basically needed a way of recording them. So we got a microphone, we've got a recording device, and we've got all the wires that connect.
But there's a boom mic, there's a boom the fucking studio, mate. In the office.
I know, but like, it's just like, well, but the message was, when you're out and about recording in the deepest, darkest, wherever, like, you don't always have everything you need, and that was kind of like the message sort of going, sometimes it's more fun and it's you know, you're gonna have to sort of improvise.
I think the message
bit,
might have been lost. I think people were just
that
like
was, yes it was. I think they were tired from a day.
I think
of
people
very,
were like
interesting talks.
The most fascinating thing about it for me was that like a load of people at the start didn't want to do it, but they all did do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but by the end, yeah, they didn't want to do it, but by the end. And like, and a lot of them just, you know, wanted to do what they did. And I had an actual extra section, but we didn't have time. I had a good time. You had less of a good time. We didn't get any love hearts. I was very upset. On every table, there was a packet of love hearts, personalised love hearts.
Oh, nice.
I love love hearts. I love anything love heartsy. I love Parma violets. I love anything
love hearts,
like that, really.
On love hearts, just quickly, did you ever use them for the purpose they were designed to be used for? Were you too frightened?
Well, like hand them out, sort of going, yeah. Well, maybe I would sort of do that a couple of times in a pack, but then I'd eat the rest of them. But you'd sort of hand them out. But then they started using stuff like, they tried to update them in like the sort of year 2000 with words like email.
Yeah, I saw that.
It didn't say email me, it said email or, you know, text.
Did you know?
It doesn't mean anything.
Do you know that I remember once watching an episode of Question Time, which is a fucking hellscape now, by the way. It was years ago though, and there was a guy called Bob Crow who was a union leader, I think for the RMT, I want to say. He's the guy who did the job that Mick Lynch guy does now that everyone thinks is amazing.
Yeah.
I think he was like the mentor to him, and he would go on he was like he basically a communist, so I'm not suggesting I support his political position, but he was a really interesting character and a very kind of like competent man at his job, right? And that's what we've seen with that Mick Lynch guy, right? He's just good at it, right? And so many politicians that they look bad because he's good, right? So Bob Crow is a bit like that, and so he would be like a fascinating guy. There's a really interesting kind of idea underpinning a lot of that leftist politics, where a lot of people are quite autodidactic, like they've grown up in quite poor areas, they've worked really hard, they've taught themselves by being like voracious readers, and they've really pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, and that's a powerful kind of message. So, but what it means is they've got like a really rough set of edges a lot of the time. So Bob Crow would literally be down Millwall having a big old row on a Saturday, and 3 or 4 days later he'd be on Question Time, right, but being quite good, right? This is quite an interesting kind of juxtaposition. But anyway, speaking of email, I can remember, and you could probably dig out the episode if you really cared enough, like, there was there was a talk about how the country was bankrupt. It might have been around 2008, actually, maybe. And they were talking about raising money and how, like, and obviously Bob Crowe was massively against austerity. He didn't want services to be cut because he said, my people, my workers, they need this, they need the jobs, all the rest of it. Yeah. And so they came to him and said, okay, well, how would you raise the money, right? Which is a fair point. You know, if you need to save the money, how are you going to raise the money? And he had no idea what to say. He obviously hadn't prepared for it. And this was in 2008, by the way. So it's not like it was 1994. Yeah. He just went, on the hop, he just went, I charge 1 penny for every email sent. And look, the room was just like silent. Everyone was like, okay. Didn't really expect that. It's just the weirdest suggestion ever.
What I like that he's thought about it. He's thought about it and he's willing to just put it out there.
Run it past the grandkids, no follow-up. Bob. Run it past the grandkids.
And he must have thought that, like, you know, this will shut them up. Bet no one's ever thought of this before.
Because there is that sweet spot when it comes to ideas where if no one's thought of it before or actively suggested it, it's either a genius idea or it's the worst idea ever.
And yeah, completely. I think
that's definitely one of those. Anyway, let's have a quick break, Peter. When we come back, we'll do those promised fish and chips themed correspondences that we talked about on Thursday.
Oh, good stuff.
Exciting, right?
Lovely. All right, smashing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show. We're basically like every Monday and Thursday, you get, it's like a sort of like a special release. You don't know exactly what you're getting, but you kind of know the major themes. You know when you sort of buy a copy of FIFA 23 or whatever.
Expensive, like, these days,
it's
isn't it?
The same, but it's slightly different,
yeah.
If you know what I mean. Where's the last, there's the last FIFA game. Apparently obviously EA have stopped working with FIFA on their
game.
What's
the story there, by the way? Why is it the last one?
I think they were just paying a lot of money for a license that you know, stands for quite a toxic brand, FIFA being FIFA, I suppose. I don't know. And they realised that by sort of working individually with clubs and stuff and players...
So they'll still do the game, but it'll be called something else or something?
Oh, yeah. I think it's just called EA Soccer or EA Sports Soccer or something,
right,
like that. So they've got enough money to probably buy the players' likenesses.
And we're like that, are we? Because we've become a toxic brand. Is that what you're saying?
We've been working with toxic brands.
By the way, on that, did you see like literally the other day, Sepp Blatter said, yeah, the Qatar World Cup was a shit idea.
Amazing,
it's not even happened.
Amazing. Like, he literally opened the fucking envelope. Yeah. Like, why? Like, absolute kind of like, right, I know this is a shit idea. Not even a shit idea. I know this has massive issues. I know it does. But, you know, it's just fucking trolls having a go at me, aren't they? But then he gets to, like, a week before the fucking start of the tournament and he goes, yeah, I might hedge me bets here.
Yeah.
He's banned,
isn't he? So I guess he's got no other way of influencing things and being a centre of attention, I suppose. But anyway, carry on. So Luke and Peach is a bit like FIFA 23. I'm not sure why, but you're going with that.
Yeah. Well, you know what you're going to get? There's going to be slight improvements every time, but they're probably not the improvements you want. But apparently the new FIFA are going to have their own set of games, I think. So FIFA are going to license their own games, yeah. And I don't know how they're going to do that. But the first set of games is... So the first game to use its branding, FIFA, following the end of its long-term partnership with EA, will be a Web3 blockchain title about... You just know that's how they're going to go. That's where they're going to go. So it sounds like it's going to be an absolute load of trash.
Fantastic. In the industry we're in, part of my job is to speak to other companies and work out what's going on, and sometimes they approach us, sometimes we approach them. And I actually had to, on one occasion with our friend and colleague, I had to just say, look, I don't know what this is. Like, this is the first time I've sat in a work meeting, and I'm taking notes and I'm listening, but I don't know what's happening. And on that basis, we can't be involved, because before I know it, I'm basically the podcasting new media equivalent of the poor old lady who's had her money stake, a building society book taken by some double glazing guy. You know,
some clever people.
I have no idea what you... Like, seriously, I was sitting there thinking, I understand one in five words. I don't know what you're talking about. And so I think that's a big barrier because I don't think I'm completely fucking stupid. That's got to be a big barrier.
There's a person I think we both know who works in television, and he's got he's the metaverse expert, because he's very internet savvy. He's grown up around the internet. He knows what a meme is. He's a funny fucker, and because he's been tasked with like looking into how television can be represented in the metaverse, he's accidentally become the metaverse expert in his kind of field sort of thing. And I'm not sure he's that into it, but he's kind of fallen into it a little bit as being the expert on like AI. Generation and also metaverse stuff, but that's how careers are forged.
Guy Gomer started.
And if anyone can find sense in some really weird places, it'll be that man, that person, because he's very clever.
On safer ground, we did promise fish and chips chat, didn't we? And this has its genesis in a week or so ago when I said that, I don't know how we got talking about it, but I said the price gouging on Deliveroo for fish and chips was mad. And everyone, and that really, I mean, I felt like Alan Partridge at the time, and a lot of times I still do, but everyone seemed to resonate with everyone. So I also said in that, as a little preface to this, I said that I would rather have baked beans with my fish and chips than mushy peas. And I knew when I said that, I was going to get in a bit of trouble. And then I'll be honest with you, I don't want to throw him under the bus because he's not got a mic here to defend himself. But I mean, I'll just present it as a statement of fact. Producer Rory then put that as a poll on Twitter to really kind of fan the flames. In the poll where the option was, would you rather have beans or mushy peas? Do you know the result of this poll, Pete, or do you want to guess?
I saw it, then forgot it. Good. So it's absolutely fine.
How many people do you reckon said baked beans? Given that mushy peas is the traditional accompaniment in this country, how many people do you think said baked beans? When I thought I was going out on a limb.
Will you make it sound like it might be like as high as 35%?
42%.
42%? I wasn't far away. Yeah, okay.
58% voted baked beans with fish and chips is rank.
I think chips can get quite dry after
a while.
You need
something wet.
I think having a bit of bean juice sloshing around the bottom, isn't that bad a thing, maybe, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It's difficult, isn't
yeah.
it?
I was surprised with the solidarity shown. So the people who listen to the show that I kind of know a bit or I'm friends with in real life, my old boss in my old job came on the WhatsApp and said, I'm with you, mate. I'm baked beans. And then my friend Heather, who listens to the show, shout out to you, Heather, she said that she preferred baked beans and she loves, as long as there's a bit of curry sauce involved at some point as well, she's fine with it. So I feel like I've stumbled upon something inadvertently here that I never knew existed. But anyway, that's the preface to this. We started talking about fish and chip shops. We got a couple of emails, so I was going to read a couple out if that's okay with you, Peter.
That's okay with me.
Yeah,
Peter.
One is from James. Hello to you, James. He says, hello, guys. Just listening to Monday's show and thought I'd offer my 2 cents regarding price gouging on delivery apps. And this is actually, I found this quite interesting and it's not something I'd considered. Yeah. So I thought I'd just share the wealth with the listenership. So I was in my local chippy a while back after a few jars, lad, and decided to call them out. He's got a bit of Dutch courage. As they do the same as your local chippy and almost doubling their prices on Deliveroo and Uber Eats. They told me they'd do it, and this is the key point, because they didn't particularly want to start doing the whole app delivery thing in the first place because it'd be too much work. It's a small family-run shop. But then someone said to them that you can bump the price up and basically put your own prices on there and make it worth your while. So they thought, why not? And then James ends the email by saying, look, it seems fair enough if people are willing to pay the inflated price and it hasn't harmed their business. Look, I still totally agree. You don't have to do it for delivery. You're paying for the convenience. I get it. That's clearly why they're doing it. That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think that's fair. It's their business at the end of the day. If you don't like it, get off your bum and go and get it yourself.
That's why we'll be charging, to deliver this episode, we'll be charging people a tenner. And if they want to come to us
we don't want
and
to
get
do
it directly, they can for free.
We don't want to. We don't want to record it.
And then just finally, I love this email from Richard Cook. Hello to you, Richard, who's emailed us all the way from the island of Tiree in the west of Scotland, which is an amazing email to receive personally because I love Scotland and I love the islands and all the rest of it. And I was under the impression really not many people at all live there. And it looks like, having checked it, it's only a handful of 100 people live there. And he's emailed in saying, please find a text one of the most remote chip shops on the island of Tiree. It has a fish supper available for £9.25. It's Tiree's only chip shop and the food is fantastic. And he's included a little photo of a beautiful blue and yellow little shack or hut. And I just thought, you know what? That's an idyllic scene, and it was great to know that someone is listening and getting involved all the way from Tiree. So lovely stuff.
Lovely stuff. Nice to hear someone from such a remote part.
Definitely, and so Tiree is apparently really good for windsurfing. According to it holds like a big windsurfing event. It's apparently referred to as the Hawaii of the North, although I think that's a bit of a stretch personally. but yeah, good stuff. Interesting, right?
Yeah, good stuff. Lovely.
All right, that's it. I think, Peter, unless there's anything else from you.
The Luke and Pete Show. No, let's get out of here. I think we've said everything we can on the matter that is the Luke and Pete Show. We'll be back on Thursday, the 17th of November, which we all recognise as being the day after the 16th of November.
Definitely, and that's just a few days before I'm off to the US for Thanksgiving, mate. It's back on.
After let's COVID. Have some pies. Let's have an orange coloured pie and some cream on the top. And let's have a big turkey leg.
Why are you talking like Alan Bennett? And what's he got to do with Thanksgiving? And Dudley and Peter. And we had a pie. Where's that come from?
Oh, dear. Right.
See you later.
We'll be back soon. Ta-ta.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.